Welcome, everyone, to the 33rd Southwest Believers Convention. Praise God. Oh, it's a good time, and the best is yet to come. Oh, folks, we haven't seen anything yet.
Isn't it a joy to be a part of this meeting? Isn't this a glorious meeting?
This conference is going to be the best conference you've ever had in your life.
What kind of convention are we at right now?
Why can't it be you? Why does it always got to be somebody else? Why can't it be you? This is a believers convention. We're telling you, it can be you.
This group is going into the supernatural. I don't care where you've been up till now. From now on, faith is going to be defining your future.
We will never accomplish apart what we could accomplish together. Not even close.
I believe we are living in such a time where we're going to experience the favor of God in an unprecedented way.
We're created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. We have the God-given ability to think like Him, talk like Him, see like Him, hear like Him, and get His results.
When you jump in this gospel of grace, it is going to impact every part of your life, and it is going to make a difference in your life, and you will not be the same. That is the agreement.
Something just stirred in my spirit, and I was just like, I need to be there.
This is where I get refilled, refreshed. This is my rejuvenation station.
When we come to these conventions, we get fired up.
Every single time I come to one of these conferences, I always get many words from God and just feel whole and complete.
Everything necessary, Lord, for people to hear and receive. Lord, that their eyes would be open, their ears would be open, and that the Word of God would be manifest, quickened.
It's like heaven on earth when I'm worshiping God here with all the believers from all around the world.
You call me home. Yes, you do. And
say, I am.
I am.
A Jesus.
Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Empowered.
It doesn't matter.
Any age can have a relationship with God.
I am a super kid. I'm an ordinary kid doing extraordinary things for Jesus.
Coming here was really exciting for us because we knew our kids would be fed and we would be fed and kind of go.
You walk in the doors of this place and the presence of God is here.
I come one way and leave another way.
We wanted to dive into this anointing, you know, to see all these people with our eyes. To be in here, you know, to get this food from God.
You can't come up with any bad thing that's not a new curse. He took it in Himself for you and me so that we can have the blessing. You've already been bought and paid for. He's already healed you. He bore Himself your sicknesses and carried your diseases. And by His stripes, you were healed. If you were healed, you are healed. We receive healing from the top of
our
heads to the soles of our feet.
God is awesome, and I just keep getting more and more fed with the Word of God, and I just love it.
They make it to where it's relatable right now.
I was ready to spend as much as I can to be here.
This anointing flows through this convention just to have to be here to feel it.
Until Jesus comes, I will be keep coming here.
These are your days, saith the Lord. Take my word on it. Believe me, and all of the forces of heaven are at work today, doing what needs to be done for the body of Christ in this earth. This is the beginning of a new wave. This is the beginning of the tent anointing. It's back. It's back big time. Glory to God. It's miracle days again.
No.
Jesus encountered pressure situations just like we do, and he showed us the key to overcoming them. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, Jeremy Pearson shares practical insights from God's Word on how to respond to pressure.
Let's go together this afternoon to the book of 2 Corinthians. We've already heard a lot about these people, but let's go right back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 7. It says this, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." You heard Pastor Rick pray this just as he began to speak. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted," verse 9, "but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Look at verse 10. "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be," what? "Manifested in our body." Now, a manifestation of Jesus, this is going to be important for where we go this afternoon. I know you, the immediate thought is, well, that's signs and wonders and miracles, and it absolutely is. But let me tell you what I believe would be an awesome, awesome manifestation of Jesus in our churches. You ready for this? Kindness. Being nice to each other. That would be an awesome, great manifestation, demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ in some of our churches. And I know that sounds simple to you, but listen. In Romans chapter 2, what did the scriptures say? God has drawn us to repentance. How did he do it? With his goodness, with his kindness. He could have done it by threatening us. He could have done it with fear. But I guess God just thought there was more power in his kindness and his goodness to not only draw you, but keep you. And a manifestation of Jesus, a manifestation of that goodness, that kindness in our bodies, it will draw people. Can I tell you something else? It'll keep them. It will keep them. Amen. Okay. But back up a couple of verses again and look what the context is reading down into this. Verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." Can I see the hands of all the earthen vessels in here this afternoon? Okay. I learned this from Pastor Rick, but those words earthen vessels could be translated cheap clay pots. "We have this treasure in a cheap clay pot, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Verse 8 again. "We are hard pressed on every side." Somebody say hard pressed.
Hard pressed.
Hard pressed on every side. Now what he's talking about, get a picture of this, of what it means to be hard pressed on every side. By quick show of hands, how many of you could say through experience, you know a thing or two about what it is to be under pressure? This is what he's talking about being under pressure. Pressure from every side. Pressure in front of you, pressure behind you, to your left, to your right, up and down. It's just pressing in on you. That means financial pressure. That means relational pressure. That means situational pressure. That means people pressure, family pressure, coming at you, coming in on you from every side and every angle. This is exactly what James chapter 1 is communicating when he says, "Count it all joy." When you fall into various, you study that fall into, it would translate like this, fall into the middle of various, variegated, random trials, just stuff going on around you in every direction. Now what happens when you take a piece of cheap clay pottery and you start pressing it on every side with equal increasing intense pressure? It's going to be crushed. Unless there's something in it that's pushing back. I brought this with me. I hope you don't mind a little illustrated sermon this afternoon, I noticed something. Sarah and I spend all our time traveling. And I noticed something a few months ago. When we get on the airplane, we get in there and there's usually these two bottles of water sitting right there for me. And I pick one up and I drink it somewhere between takeoff and we get to cruise altitude up around anywhere between 30, 40,000 feet. And this other one usually stays closed. And I noticed that every time we come down out of that altitude, I look at this bottle, this one that's empty, and without me touching it, it begins to crush and collapse. Now these two bottles came off our airplane from a flight yesterday, okay? And this is what happened. This one was untouched, empty but untouched. And in descent, it began to collapse. Why is that? Well, you know that the pressure at 30,000 feet is a lot less than it is here at sea level. The higher you go, the less the pressure. That'll preach. Because you can't get higher than seated with Jesus in heavenly places, all right? But what happened was this one, two identical bottles, and nothing special about these bottles, right? Can you attest to that? I mean, just cheap, plastic, mass-produced bottles. Nothing special about them. But this one, without anybody touching it, began to collapse on the way down. Why? Because there was nothing in it, and as the pressure began to increase around it, what was against it was more than what was in it. But you've got another one that sat virtually right next to it the entire flight, made out of the same stuff, but kept its shape and was completely and totally sustained under the same amount of pressure. It was sustained by what was in it.
That's right.
Watch this. What was in it was greater than what was against it. Now, okay. Is that clear to you? Do you see that? I'm going to leave it right here in case you just need to chew on it a little bit. But see, he had to preface this by saying, we have this treasure. What treasure? The glory. What's the treasure that we have in these cheap clay pots? It's the glory. It's the part of God that makes God, God. It's His essence. It's who He is. Not just what He does, but who He is and why He does it. And it's that part of Him that makes Him, Him. It's the glory. It's His presence heavy with everything good. Now, with that in mind, now read the next verse. We have this treasure of the glory of God in earthen vessels, that the excellence may be of God, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I know you've been pressed. I know you've been pressured. But I want you walking away from this place today with a revelation that there is something in you that's pushing back. And in the same way that you see two identical bottles, one completely crushed and collapsed, the other completely sustained by what was in it, you can take two people and put them through the same pressure.
That's right.
And one of them just give in, give up, and quit. And the other one walk through it and not even look like they got touched. How do you do that? By a revelation of what is already in you. You have this treasure in you. I mentioned to you a moment ago, James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, when you're surrounded by this stuff, knowing that the testing of your faith works what? What does it work? Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Patience, we'll get into this in a moment, but I want you to hear this. Patience is the art of living unresponsive to pressure. The art of living completely unresponsive to pressure. Go to John chapter 8. There is something in you that outweighs what's against you. And if we as believers would ever wake up to what is already in us, you know what we'd stop saying? Oh God, show me your glory. You gotta be real watchful when you start asking God to do stuff He's already done, especially stuff He's already done through Jesus. I have shown it to you. It's in you. Wake up to what is on the inside of us. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, stir up the gift that is where? It's in you. It's in you. He wrote to him on two separate occasions. The other time he said, stop ignoring, quit neglecting the gift that is in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells where? In you. And what is in you is greater than what's against you. Greater is He that is where? In you than he that is against you. And Jesus is the glory of God. He's that part of God that makes God, God. I know that's big and I tread lightly when I say it, but I believe it. He is the brightness of His image. He is the glory of God. So when the Scripture says, greater is He who is in you, it's saying greater is the glory that is in you. The glory that is in you outweighs the pressure that's against you. This is why if you were to keep looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he ends up in verse 16 and through 18 talking about we don't look at things that are seen. We look at things that are unseen. He says, we know these bodies are dying away. We know that. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. And this is what he says. For this momentary light affliction. If you look up that word affliction in your Strong's dictionary, you want to know what it says? Pressure. It's pressure. But yet he calls it a light affliction. How can you call being surrounded by pressure on every side light? Well, the same way I can look at my 3-year-old son and say, look how big he is. He's not that big. But he is bigger than he used to be. See, I'm comparing it to something. He was comparing that pressure to something. And in comparison to the thing he was comparing it to, it's light. Our light affliction is but for a moment and working for us a far greater weight of glory. What is in you, I'm going to say it again, far outweighs what's against you. As much pressure as closing in on this bottle, the water that's in it sustained it because it's heavier than what was against it. Would you like to know how Jesus responds to pressure? Look at this from John chapter 8. Verse 2, now early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple and all the people came to him and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, here he is teaching, preaching. And these religious leaders interrupt this message and they have this woman who they say they have caught in the act of adultery. And they threw her in the midst. What's in the midst mean? In the middle. Can you see what that is? I just saw this the other day after preaching this for almost a year. That is the ministry of condemnation. That's it right there. What Paul, by the Spirit of God, referred to it in 2 Corinthians 3, written and engraved on stones. Notice what they said. They said in verse 5, Moses in the law commanded us that such a one should be stoned. They're using that law not to shine a light on God and His holiness. They're using that law to shine a light on this woman and her sin. It's the ministry of condemnation. And hand in hand with it, they said, such a one should be stoned. That's the ministry of death. Watch these two things work hand in hand. Verse 6, this they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. This is pressure. This is pressure. Learn this from Brother Keith. Listen to this. Listen to the assignment that was on this pressure. Pressure comes to give you, at most, two bad choices. At most. And then says, pick now. Now look at the two bad choices that it seems Jesus has in front of him. Stone her or don't stone her. Listen to these. If he says, don't stone her, now they've come to him on the basis of the law. The very law that he came to fulfill. He cannot break this law. If he does, this thing's over. This law has to be fulfilled. So that's I got a bad choice here in front of me. Well, the other choice is to stone her. So if I don't stone her, I'll break the law. But if I do stone her, then all of these people that have come to hear the word and have been drawn by kindness, drawn by the goodness of God, drawn by the ministry of righteousness. If he says stone her, then all of that is lost. And these people say, well, see, he's just another hard-hearted religious leader. This is a bad place to be in. This is pressure. But I want you to see Jesus and how he operates when the pressure's on. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. As though he did not hear. Patience. The art of living unresponsive to pressure. People pressing you. Situations pressuring you, money's pressuring you, buildings pressuring you, family pressuring you. And they're saying, we need an answer, we need an answer, we need an answer. What is it? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? You know, you don't have to answer. Yeah, but what about that awkward silence? When they want an answer and you're not answering. Folks, deal with it. You deal with it. They'll deal with it. But when it comes to pressure, do not be moved. What's Jesus doing? This is patience. This is patience at work here. What's he waiting on? Well, you know, he doesn't say anything unless he hears his Father say it. So he's waiting on a word from God. Just waiting. He refused to respond to the pressure. So what's he doing when he's down there playing in the dirt? He's going inside. You know how to do that? You know how to get inside? It starts with getting quiet. It starts with shutting the noise out. Even if it's still up, you turn it down on the inside and you get in there. And you get a revelation. What is in me is greater than what's against me. The glory of God that is in me is resisting this, is pushing back. I got something in me right now that's pushing back against this stuff that's against me. And I will not be crushed. I'm pressed, but I am not crushed. I am struck down, but I am not destroyed because of what is in me. Greater is the glory that is in me. Greater is the Spirit that is in me. And all the while you're being sustained in that time of pressure because you get inside. This is what Jesus did. Get inside. What do I say, Father? What do I say? What do I say? He who is among you without sin, let him throw the first stone. So simple, right? That's the wisdom of God. Wait on a word from God. Wait on the wisdom of God. Amen. You got something in you, and it's the glory himself.
All of us encounter pressure of one kind or another in life. And it could be a temporary pressure, like trying to meet some sort of work deadline, or maybe it's something more like ongoing financial pressure or trying to navigate through a difficult relationship. But here's the good news. God has already given you and every believer everything that it takes to overcome in any situation. And Jesus said, all who live in this world will experience trouble. But then he said, cheer up, because he's already overcome the world's trouble, and so can you. And God has put two very powerful forces inside of every born-again believer to help us experience the victory that Jesus won for us. In fact, we've got a gift for you today just to increase your understanding of these things. It's an in-depth teaching series by Kenneth Copeland on 10 CDs called Faith and Patience. And it's so important that you and I know how these two powerful forces work together to bring God's results in our life. So just contact us by phone or on our website, and we will send this teaching as a free gift to you. Listen at the end of this broadcast for our announcer, and he will tell you how to receive your copy as our gift to you. Thank you so much for watching today. I believe you're blessed by this. Until next time, this is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Word Explosion, September 25th through 27th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing in Columbia, South Carolina. The 2014 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through 15th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The 2015 Branson Victory Campaign, February 26th through 28th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.